Good morning, Montreal. You are tuned to the Wednesday Morning After on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. We have a tight show for you today with two pre-recorded interviews from the Music Spot and a shorty from Arts and Culture popping up in the second hour. We will also visit a couple of podcasts. The first interview is with Sheena Coe. Sheena is playing Tavern Tour into the Matrix. Tickets are free, so everyone should go. At 7:30, we'll visit Rabble Radio Labor and Solidarity News for a 15-minute podcast by Marc Bélanger about child labor and other subjects. The second interview will be with Kingston rock band Jimbo. Jimbo's latest single is Dropping Like Flies. 8 o'clock brings Democracy Now!, 8:15 brings Weather, and after some music, we'll pop up a shorty with Jasmine Parisian, Indigenous author and single mother of three boys under seven. Next, we'll visit the podcast called In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, where this week's question is, what are the hiccups? After some more music, we'll wrap up the show. Let's start the day off with some music.
Leave us. It's time to make an appointment for your booster dose against COVID-19. Visit quebec.ca/COVID-vaccine to follow the vaccination sequence plan for your area and book your appointment online. To continue protecting yourself against COVID-19 and its variants, get a booster dose and keep following distancing measures, wearing a mask, and washing your hands. The booster dose, the best way to stay protected longer. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
C'est maintenant le temps de prendre votre rendez-vous pour votre dose de rappel contre la COVID-19. Allez sur québec.ca/vaccin-COVID pour suivre la séquence de vaccination prévue dans votre région et prendre votre rendez-vous en ligne. Pour bien vous protéger contre la COVID-19 et ses variants, vous devez recevoir la dose de rappel et continuer de respecter la distanciation, de porter le masque et de laver vos mains. La dose de rappel, un moyen de nous protéger plus longtemps. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
Early in the morning, before the sun rose, when the first bird sang, even while everyone was still asleep.
Morning. On that morning.
When the sun comes out.
This morning, baby.
Cock-a-doodle-doo. I hear the rooster crowing.
Now you must wake up.
Now every morning when I wake up,
I woke up this morning with
the kiss of the morning.
Got up 7:30 every morning. Had the same breakfast.
Réveillez-moi à 8:00 demain matin.
Good morning.
Early in the morning.
Early in the morning.
Riding a bike made of bacon and eggs.
In the morning.
In the morning.
Why should the sun replace the moonlight?
Has this ever happened to any of you, or will it happen to any of you, on the morning after the night before?
You are listening to The Morning After on CKUT 90.3 on the FM dial.
Kicking off Tavern Tours festivities at the Baptiste on Friday, 8 p.m., will be trip-hop singer-songwriter Andy John, followed closely by Sheena Coe, the Besnard Lakes, Antoine Corriveau, Le Couleur, who will be sharing her unique blend of disco and dream pop within the confines of Le Vert Bouteille. With us today, we have Sheena Coe. Hi, Sheena, and welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks so much for having me, CKUT.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to be involved with Tavern Tour.
Well, my name is Sheena Coe. I am a solo artist based out of Montreal, and I also am a very busy performing musician with many different groups. I've known the gang from Tavern Tour for quite some time now. I've had the opportunity to play Distortion Psych Fest a few times, and this would have been my very first opportunity to play Tavern Tour live. And of course, now we can't play in public, but now I'm happy that I can perform in a live stream environment in the Matrix, as we say. And it's going to be really a nice concert in the virtual world of Yvelte.
What is the Sheena Coe sound, and how did you develop it as you grew and became a musician?
I guess my sound would be considered very atmospheric. I enjoy creating an atmosphere and vibe for my audiences. So I usually try to take people on a journey and start, ease everyone in, get everyone in the same environment, and then eventually bring them into very soundscapey harmonics and lots of electronic sounds and vocals, oftentimes with backup singers or not. I love playing synthesizers. I love playing as much as I can live. So I operate a lot of gear live while I'm performing. I'm happy that with Tavern Tour, I'll be able to play as a trio with Christian Sean and Steven Schwinald.
Who else will you be playing nearby at Tavern Tour? And what kinds of music are in the lineup?
I definitely know Andy John. She's a really good friend of mine, and she's also been really amazing. She's helped me out a lot with my photos. She's an amazing photographer as well as a singer-songwriter, and I absolutely love her music. We both work with Steven Schwinald, who is an awesome recording engineer and producer in Montreal. Yeah, so I'll be tuning in to her concert for sure. I'm looking forward to just popping into all kinds of concerts going on. I really enjoy Yvelte. It's like a Zelda world, and you can go around this virtual world and pop into some of your favorite venues. So I'll just be exploring the festival as if I were there for real, but instead I'll be behind my avatar in the Matrix. So yeah, it'll be fun. It's a cool place. I actually really recommend Yvelte. It's really fun. And then, you know, like, I mean, over the last 2 years, we've had to get used to living with our avatars, kind of like in this virtual world. It's the only way we can stay social. and feel like we're attending parties if we're in isolation. So
you now have an upcoming album. What is its name, and what is the process you went through writing, composing, and producing this album?
My new album, it's my second album, called Future Is Now. It was really an album I dove into right after the pandemic started, because I had released my first album in March of 2020 called Nowhere in Time. I spent a lot of time outside in nature, a lot of times reflecting and having time to actually focus on what really was important to me. You know, I wasn't running around touring all over the world. I was stuck primarily up in Saguenay, actually, because I ended up there during the pandemic, and it was a great environment for me to start composing music. So I started writing and recording this album last March, actually, March of 2021. I spent all of winter in Saguenay writing and recording, and all of last summer and fall I was recording. And so that's all coming out. It all starts on February 18th with my first single and music video. And that is called Wake Up. And so, yeah, I'm releasing everything in about 3 weeks here, starting with Wake Up, and then we'll be releasing two other music videos there's like a trio of videos that I created up in Saguenay to represent kind of where I wrote the music. And then I've got a couple other music videos that weren't created in Saguenay. One which was really beautifully shot here in Montreal, and another one in Hawaii, where my family lives. Yeah, so I'm super stoked about releasing it. It's full of good energy and good vibes. I think we all need, we need the good vibes right now. So I'm super excited to share that.
May we listen to some of your music?
Of course. I'm gonna share two tracks that haven't been released yet. So I'm super excited to share these songs with CQUT. I have Give It All and Wake Up, which are both going to be released over the next few months, but you guys get a little sneak peek now.
So this is Give It All on the Wednesday yes. morning after.
Thank you.
When is Tavern Tour going to be playing in Montreal? And where can our listeners get tickets?
Tavern Tour is happening February 4th and 5th. All of the tickets can be found online at Le Point de Vent. I'm just going to actually, lepointdevent.com, but you can also just go to Tavern Tour's website to get all the tickets. The tickets are free. It just basically gives you entry into the shows. I believe if you just log into El Ouvelt's at the appropriate concert times, you'll also just be able to attend the concerts that way too.
May we hear some more of your music?
Yes.
Well, this is Wake Up on CKUT. If our listeners want more information, where should they go?
Well, I'm pretty active online. I have my own website, sheenaco.com. But if you want to stay in touch with me, I really enjoy communicating with my audience through Instagram and Facebook. Don't really, I'm still trying to figure out TikTok. So that, hopefully I'll figure it out one day. I just started doing it. And, but yeah, I mean, you know, you can find me online at most outlets. And, but I would say also my YouTube channel, because I have a video every single. So you'll be able to follow me on there and be the first to know when my music videos and singles come out.
Well, thank you for your interview today.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for having me. And I hope you enjoy the festival.
You've been listening to Sheena Coe speaking about her music and tavern tour. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
This is Solidarity News on Radio Labor.
This is a Radio Labor World Report recorded on Friday, January 28th, 2022. I'm Mark Boulanger. In the report this week, International Education Day and Child Labor. Bangladesh garment workers need a living wage. The Labor Start report about union events and singing.
For every stitch of clothing, someone sweats away unseen. While the tangled threads of justice unravel at the seams. From the slums of New York City to the streets of Bangladesh. It ain't over yet.
This is Radio Labor. Unions celebrated International Education Day this week. C. Marie Ainsborough has a report.
January 24th is the International Day for Education, a day set aside by the United Nations to remind people of the importance of quality education. Labor organizations around the world use the day to lobby governments to improve their educational systems. One of those organizations is Education International. EI represents more than 32 million teachers and education support personnel in 178 countries. David Edwards is EI's general secretary.
The International Day of Education is an annual celebration to highlight the essential role of education for our communities and societies around the world. But these are not normal times. We have just entered the third year of the COVID-19 pandemic, the third year of the worst education crisis in history, a wholly preventable catastrophe exacerbated by greed, short-sightedness, vaccine nationalism, and global inaction. Right now, keeping schools open and safe during relentless waves of the pandemic is a priority for governments, parents, and teachers everywhere. Closing schools means endangering the future of our children and crippling our societies. However, this priority, it's not reflected in education budgets. Since the start of the pandemic, education budgets have fallen in two-thirds of low and middle-income countries and in one-third of upper, middle, and high-income countries. This is devastating. And every day, teachers are asked to do much, much more with much, much less. Less support, less information, and yes, less resources. Even before the pandemic, the United Nations estimated that 69 million more teachers were needed to achieve Sustainable Development Goal 4 and ensure inclusive, quality education for all. The heavy workload, lack of resources to keep schools safe, and chronic understaffing in education means more and more teachers are leaving the profession they love and that the world needs. This International Day of Education is a wake-up call. We must make sure all students are taught by a trained and qualified teacher, and that each teacher is valued and supported. As Education International, the voice of the teaching profession worldwide, we call upon governments everywhere to truly prioritize education.
One of the most crucial issues facing educators is child labor. In Africa, for example, 87 million child laborers are at work, not at school. David Sinyalo is EI's director for the Africa region.
There is consensus that the most effective way to eradicate child labor is to ensure access to equitable, inclusive, relevant, quality education for all. Quality education can break the generational cycles of poverty and help create equal opportunities for all. However, putting children in school is not enough. Putting children in unsafe and overcrowded classrooms, in schools without toilets, without water, or without health protocols, or without enough trained teachers can result in school dropouts. What all children need is a quality education ensured by three key pillars. Number one, qualified teachers with decent salaries and working conditions. Number two, quality tools and resources. And number three, safe, healthy, and supportive quality learning environments.
For years, labor activists around the world have been campaigning to ensure that garment workers in Bangladesh and other countries earn a living wage. A living wage is the minimum income needed for workers to meet their basic needs, including food, housing, some small savings, and other essential needs. One of the labor projects trying to help workers in Bangladesh is the Labor Link podcast. Its host is Judy Gearhart of the American University's Accountability Research Center. Here's the podcast.
Once you start work for worker rights, you cannot stop. You just can't stop yourself. Because I need to protest. I need to have these workers back.
That's Kalpana Akhtar, a former child worker turned worker organizer and the director of the Bangladesh Center for Worker Solidarity. My name is Judy Gearhart, and this is The Labor Link, a podcast about workers' rights and global supply chains, where we share the personal stories of the brave individuals organizing the workers who make our stuff. Bangladesh has built its economy on apparel exports. It's the world's second largest exporter of apparel after China. And the industry generates more than 80% of the country's export earnings, employing 4.5 million workers. Not surprisingly, Bangladesh's economy has taken huge hits during the COVID-19 pandemic, and many workers have been struggling to feed their children. In Bangladesh, there's no social insurance, and even the workers producing for rich export markets like Europe, the US, or Canada are earning subsistence wages.
My name is Kalpana Akhtar. I'm a former child worker. I started working in a factory in the age of 12. I had to be a child worker because my mom did not pay a living wage.
Let's talk about the broader context now in Bangladesh with COVID and everything that's happening with the brands not fulfilling their orders.
The situation is really dire. Over 300,000 workers lost their jobs. This is horrific. How those workers are surviving now, you can't even believe. Many of them don't have 1 meal a day. That is their situation.
So I'm trying to think about where you go from here in terms of the demands on the brands and the demands on the government.
My job is doing it nationally and internationally. It is important to run both campaign and advocacy together because the government in here are strongly colluded with business. In our parliament, my legislator is my factory owner. And when you are in that situation, it's very minimum you can achieve. Consumers can play a big role. Don't get afraid when you see a clothes that made in Bangladesh. When you know workers with a poverty wages, almost no union voice, don't feel guilt. You should feel anger and show this anger to the brands. Ask them more questions. People need to be treated as a human. These workers, those are producing clothes or any other goods for you, they should be paid a living wage. They should be working in a safe workplace. They should be free to exercise their union voice. They should be socially protected. And there should not be any gender-based violence in those workplaces where they're working. In one word, you are asking for a workers to have a job with dignity. Ask your government to have a due diligence law because that will make accountable your companies.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Labor Link. To learn more about Kalpana's work and the Bangladesh Center for Worker Solidarity, go to bcwsbd.org. And to hear more episodes of The Labor Link, go to empathymedialab.com/laborlink. This podcast is a collaboration between the Accountability Research Center and Empathy Media Lab. To hear more podcasts about workers' rights, visit laborradionetwork.org.
You can find more information about apparel workers in Bangladesh at hashtag PayYourWorkersCleanClothesCampaign. Here with his report about union events is Labor Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
This week, our top stories section included links to coverage of a national agreement in Canada that will see Uber workers become union members, the increasingly difficult and even deadly situation faced by trade unions in Myanmar, and the ongoing struggle to free 8 strike leaders in Cambodia. We also had news from Ghana, where unions reacted to an explosion that killed 13 workers, and about the delicate situation faced by unions in Burkina Faso in the aftermath of the recent coup there. For our Working Women page, our volunteers found stories about the hyper-exploitation of women gig workers in Ukraine and why the Indian women who work at providing rural children with health and nutritional assistance have so militant a history that's reflected in their current activism across that country and equaled by that of Polish flight attendants as they struggle to return to their jobs after Polish Airlines begins the process of returning to normal operations. A small sample of the stories appearing on our health and safety page and Newswire this week includes many, many stories from Canada, Europe, and Latin America about the job stresses being endured by paramedics and other ambulance workers. Beyond the direct effects of the pandemic on their workloads, paramedics have seen their roles expand drastically over the past 2 years. We also covered the strike threat by Australian teachers that won them significant health and safety concessions in the lead-up to the opening of schools in that country, and the angering news that industrial accidents in India continue to rise, with 168 deaths recorded last year and many hundreds more going unnoticed by the authorities. Our photo of the week is a tribute to the members of the Free Trade Zone and General Services Employees Union of Sri Lanka, who have remained active and militant during the pandemic. They have taken on offensive employer behaviors, including strip searches of workers entering and leaving a so-called free trade zone, and they recently won a global supply chain agreement in concert with other unions. This is Derek Blackadder from Labor Start, reporting for Radio Labor.
Now here are the Low Tide Drifters with Every Stitch.
In New York's garment district, a century ago, flame swept through a sweatshop where young women came to sew. They tried to flee to safety, but they found the stairwells locked. Some perished from the smoke and fire, some fell on the hard sidewalk. Present day in Bangladesh, 11 stories high. Workers stand before the glass, how they wish that they could fly. Exit doors are locked up tight, and the air is full of screams. 26 will die.
Every stitch of clothing someone sweats away unseen, while the tangled threads of justice unravel at the seams. From the slums of New York City to the streets of Bangladesh, 100 years of struggle, it ain't over yet.
In the ashes of disaster, they won safety on the cutting floor and basic workers' rights. Now the union labels faded and the war is waged anew. Along a global chain of greed and pain hidden from the public view. All across America, in every crowded mall, shoppers shop beneath the smiles of models on the wall. But the promise of a logo is nothing more than sleight of hand, a corporate mask to hide the lives that lie behind.
City to the streets of Bangladesh. 100 years of struggle, it ain't over yet.
And that's it. Labor news you can use. I'm Mark Belanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.
Directions on how to use your radio. Find the power button. Turn it to on. Turn the knob to CKUT 90.3 FM. Relax and enjoy.
Jimbo, a psychedelic grunge rock band from Kingston, to start off 2022 with a devastatingly monstrous rocker, proving they will be the next big band from the Great White North. The group's latest sludge rock single, Dropping Like Flies, is a heavy atmospheric burn that speaks of the bleak future that many young people face. With us today, we have Joe Narducci, Alex Vanderhaden, and Jacob Tessier from Jimbo. Hi, Joe, Alex, and Jacob, and welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
First, please introduce yourselves and tell us how you came to form Jimbo.
My name's Joe and I play guitar.
Alex, I play bass and I sing.
I'm Jacob and I play drums.
We came to form Jimbo. We all went to Queen's University. And first year, myself and Jacob, we met in Queen's Music Club. And we both really wanted to start playing shows. So that combined interest got us to form a band. And then within a couple months, we met Alex, who joined on bass and vocals, and the rest is history. I think we always joke that we're a band first and friends second. Like, we all got together because we were all really enthusiastic about getting to play in the Kingston music scene. And then after playing together for a few years, we realized that we are great friends as well.
We actually like each other. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the joke we always say.
Yeah. What is the recording history of your band, and how did this journey bring you to Dropping Like Flies?
We've recorded two EPs before Dropping Like Flies. Both were in sort of more studio settings. but for Dropping Like Flies and for this EP that's coming out, you know, all the studios were closed because we recorded this during COVID. So we had to record it at home out of Joe's front room foyer.
Yeah, pretty much. Just went out. We were like, how much is studio time? And we just spent that much on recording equipment. And we just went for it.
And it was really great because when you're in a studio, like, you know, time is money. So you don't really have a lot of time to experiment. But because we were doing it at home, we got to do all sorts of crazy things, take some time building sounds. So like in the intro to Dropping Like Flies, it's like really atmospheric. It's like a little soundscape. So Alex and I spent hours, you know, putting that together and tested our friendship while making it and stuff. So, you know, we're really grateful that we had the time and opportunity to do that without, you know, the stress of being in a studio.
Your latest single is Dropping Like Flies. What is the story behind this song?
So I guess it's sort of like whenever you walk around, you see posters or something about like depression or anxiety, it almost feels like those like aren't created for people that are depressed or anxious. They're kind of like, they would almost like offend you. I guess like everyone struggles a little bit with like some sort of depression or anxiety. So we just kind of wrote it as like a like sarcastic like remark as to like,
yeah, as because like I think some of these efforts sort of feel half-hearted, right?
Yeah,
so that's sort of what the song is speaking to. But in terms of the music, it was really funny because like we, you know, at the start of our rehearsals as we're warming up and stuff, sometimes we just play, you know, we just have a little jam, something like that to get us started. And that one day, like I came like, oh guys, I really want to show you this riff. And Alex is like, oh, I actually want to show you guys a riff too. And Jacob's like, oh, I thought of an intro for a song. And it just so happened that all three of our ideas like fit so perfectly together. So it really was like one of our first songs that was really like a equal effort from like everyone putting in a little something. So that was really fun. And the lyrics too were like a team effort too. So it was really fun to write that way.
May we listen to some of your music?
Yeah, for sure.
This is Dropping Like Flies on the Wednesday Morning After.
Put on a play. That shit.
Your last EP was Where the Vultures Gather. What was the process you went through producing this album?
So we're all really big fans of this Toronto band called Possum. Everyone should check out Possum. They're an incredible band. And so Possum has a studio that they record at, and they record band. It's actually in like this old fur shop in Toronto. We reached out to them and they let us book some time with them. So we got to record at their old fur shop, and it was really cool getting to, you know, use all their vintage gear. The way they record things is they record to tape and digitally at like simultaneously. So it really gives the music like a really cool vintage full sound. Yeah, that's where we recorded it with them. In terms of the songs, like they were just songs that we had been playing live, that we had tested live for quite a bit, that we knew, you know, we were ready to record. In terms of the themes of that EP, it was, even though we make EPs, we try to still make them have concepts. So, you know, if you sit down and listen to it, you know, all the way through, you still feel like you heard something that was cohesive, right? It's not just like a little, I don't know.
Not a collection of singles. They all make sense together.
Exactly, yeah. So I think the theme, you know, with that was that a lot of people tell us how to run our band. But a lot of these people like don't play in bands themselves or haven't been in successful bands at least. And I feel like we've been around long enough to see like bands that have great social media presence, you know, fizzle out, and bands that have zero social media presence, like do incredible things and continue to climb the ladder and continue to be successful. So we really think that at the end of the day, as it always has been, it's the music that is most important. So that's what Where the Vultures Gather sort of like speaks to.
Maybe hear some more of your music?
Please.
This is Where the Vultures Gather on CKUT.
We'll be right back.
if our listeners want some free listening time or to buy your music, where should they go?
Well, Bandcamp, if you want to support us, and otherwise, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, anywhere else.
We're on all the streaming platforms, so yeah.
Got a music video on YouTube as well.
But yeah, we have a couple music videos on YouTube, actually, if you want to check those out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, any listens, we always appreciate. So you can also find us on Instagram and Facebook and stuff, of course.
Yeah, if you want to see what we're up to or follow us, Instagram, we're at Jimbo the Band. And on Facebook, or just Jim, if you type in Jimbo Band, it will come up and you can follow us there to hear what we're up to.
Well, thank you for your interview today.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah, no, really appreciate it. Thank you.
You have been listening to Jimbo speaking about their music. I'm your host, Sheila Ferrando.
This is Democracy Now!
Russia has assembled a massive military force of more than 100,000 troops along Ukraine's border. These are combat forces and special forces prepared to conduct offensive actions into Ukraine.
The discussions about the threat of war is provocative in and of itself. You are almost calling for this. You want it to happen.
As the U.S. and NATO allies send arms to Ukraine and Russia amasses troops on its border, can a war in Europe be averted? We'll speak to Medea Benjamin of Code Pink about how the peace movement is responding.
NATO should have been dissolved after the Cold War. Instead, it's an aggressive organization that's provoking this conflict.